Welcome to Talk of Ages, where we discuss issues related to seniors and retirement. Today, we're going to be talking about assisted living and memory care. Here's our Executive Director, Edward Burton, and Director of Community Relations, Amber Morse.
Hey, welcome to Talk of Ages. This is Edward, and with me is Amber Morris, as
good
always.
Good morning.
And Amber, how did you sleep last night?
I actually slept pretty good.
Well, I did not, and I can tell you that sleep is very important, whether you have young kids like I do or whether you are older. But certainly as we age, sleep is very important at night, and sometimes we sleep well, sometimes we don't. Sleep plays a major key role in your health, and one large review, Amber, actually found that insufficient sleep increases obesity risk by 89% in children and 55% in adults. Other studies have actually concluded that less than 78 hours of sleep per night increases your risk of developing heart disease and type 2 diabetes. And I, you know, with a lot of us that burn the candle at both ends, sometimes we are good to get 5 and 6 hours of sleep, much less 7 or 8.
Yeah, especially when you have a little 2-year-old that likes to wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning.
That is true. Who is not on the same sleep schedule as you are.
Right. Who takes naps in the afternoon.
It's actually just as important as regular exercise and a healthy diet.
That's right.
Research shows that poor sleep has immediate negative effects. So that's immediate now, not a week's worth of no sleep or a month, but an immediate. One bad night of not sleeping has immediate negative effects on your hormones, exercise performance, and certainly your brain function and how you can even function through the day.
That's right. It's really important to get a good night's sleep. So today we're going to be talking about a few tips and tricks to kind of help you get that good night's sleep. Some of them are just so easy to do. It'll take you 30 seconds and they're done. Some of them are patterns that you want to establish in your life. And the first one is you want to make sure that you are getting enough bright light exposure during the day. So your body has a natural timekeeping clock. It's called your circadian rhythm. And it affects your brain, your body, your hormones. It helps you stay awake. It tells your body when it's time to sleep. This is why a lot of folks, when time change or when they go to a different time zone, have issues, because their body is used to getting up every morning at 6 a.m. and all of a sudden, you know, you're changing that by an hour. Or if you, you know, fly to Hawaii, you're changing that by up to 6 hours. And that's why it can be really hard. So if you are really getting enough bright light exposure during the day, that really helps you. Sometimes patients with insomnia, the daytime bright light exposure improved their sleep quality and reduced the time it took to fall asleep by 83%. So that's absolutely huge.
But we're talking about natural sunlight, right? We're not talking about just like here in the studio or at the office. We're talking about actually getting out, like vitamin D absorbing natural light.
Absolutely. Daily sunlight is so important. And, you know, if it's a cloudy day, turn all the lights on in your house during the day. It can really help improve your sleep quality.
Amber, that's a great way to start out our tips. Another one is reducing blue light exposure in the evening. Many of us, not just throughout the day, but as soon as we get home, our necks are bent down looking at our phones, our tablets, our computers, playing Candy Crush till we fall asleep in the chair.
Turning on the news.
It's nonstop bombardment of blue light in our lives with the advent of technology. But exposure to light, like you talked about, is beneficial, but nighttime light exposure has the opposite effect.
That's right.
And again, this is due to its impact on your circadian rhythm, tricking your brain into thinking that it's still daytime. And of course, this reduces hormones like melatonin, which help you relax and get deep sleep. And of course, this blue light that we're talking about, Amber, is really the worst in this type of regard. It emits kind of large amounts of whatever electronic devices we have on. It's just constantly hitting your eyes. So like smartphones, TVs that we talked about. The bottom line is that blue light tricks your body into thinking it's daytime. That's really the bottom line, is it really actually tricks your body into thinking it's daytime. And there are several ways you can reduce blue light exposure. The main thing is just cut stuff off at night.
That's right.
You know, get used to going to sleep when it's dark. I know if you have children or other little ones around, I've even heard that, you know, these little cute night lights that they have on, sometimes those emit blue lights because they're made with LED bulbs. And so a lot of times you think what's cute is actually disturbing your child's sleep as well.
Yeah, that's very important. And another thing is not to consume too much caffeine late in the day. I know I'm addicted to coffee.
Same.
I have to have my pot of coffee every morning. A lot of people drink, you know, coffee and sodas and different things like that. But, you know, you don't want to consume it late in the day. Caffeine does have numerous benefits. And do you know that 90% of the U.S. population drinks some form of caffeine every day?
That's just about everybody.
That's everybody. Everybody except the babies. One single dose of it can enhance focus, energy, and sports performance. However, when you consume it later in the day, it stimulates your nervous system, and that can stop your body from naturally relaxing at night. So you want to, after about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you want to stop drinking anything caffeinated, switch over and drink water instead. Water's so good for you anyways. Caffeine can stay in your blood for 6 to 8 hours. So you want to make sure that's out of your system before you go to sleep. That really helps you get a good night's sleep. Now, if you're like me sometimes and you want a good cup of something hot in the evening, you know, stick to an herbal tea that's non-caffeinated or have decaf coffee.
Amber, another is reducing irregular or long daytime naps. So I'm usually famous for the Sunday afternoon, 1 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday football.
The post-church snooze.
Post-church, post-buffet snooze on Sunday afternoon. But while short power naps have been proven beneficial, longer irregular napping during the day can actually negatively affect your sleep. Sleeping in the daytime can confuse your internal body clock.
Mm-hmm.
And you may struggle to sleep at night. Sometimes if you take that longer nap in the afternoon, you're up later, and it disturbs your regular sleep pattern. If you do take regular daytime naps and you still sleep well, it's not likely an issue. But to me, if you are having trouble sleeping at night, you really just stop napping if you can, or shorten your naps to reduce the likelihood it would disturb your sleep at night.
That's right. Another thing you want to do is have a consistent pattern on when you go to sleep and when you wake up. And that's very, very important. So your body's circadian rhythm functions on a set loop. So it aligns itself with the sunrise and sunset. So when you're consistent, when you go to sleep and when you wake up, that really helps aid in sleep quality in the long term. You notice when your kids, you know, you're out late with your kids or whatever, the next day they're just cranky. It's because their sleep rhythm has been disrupted. So a study found that those who had irregular sleeping patterns and went to bed late on the weekends reported poor sleep. So when you think about this, you want to think about, you know, if you have to get up every morning at 5 and you need 8 hours of sleep, you don't want to wait till midnight to go to sleep. You want to go to bed earlier and wake up at the same time. Even on the weekends, you want to be going to bed and getting up at the same time. That really, really helps.
And, you know, the last tip for this segment is to not drink alcohol. There's a lot of people that go home and have a glass of wine or two or maybe even three, but it can affect your sleep, and although you think it's helping you fall asleep, it actually increases the symptoms of sleep apnea, like snoring and disruptive sleep patterns. Many times you don't drop into REM sleep when you have alcohol consumption. You don't produce melatonin, and it plays a key role in your body's circadian rhythm. Amber, another study found that alcohol consumption at night decreased the natural nighttime elevations in growth hormone. And that also plays a key role in the circadian rhythm and has many other key functions. The bottom line, though, is just don't drink at night, if possible, as it really reduces nighttime melatonin production. And it, quite frankly, leads to disruptive sleep patterns.
That's right. It's very important. And as we wrap up this segment, we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about how you can get a really good, restful night's sleep, some things that you can do to really help get that good night's sleep. You know, getting that good night's sleep is so important. So we'll be back here on Talk of Ages in just a few minutes.
Welcome back to Talk of Ages. And Amber, we're talking about getting a good night's rest. And one of the biggest things probably is optimizing that bedroom environment, creating that personal spa where you can just sleep all night and not be disturbed. So I kind of laugh at that because when you have kids, that's hard to imagine or
it's
even
almost impossible when you got a crib in the bedroom.
Conceptualize. But many people believe that the bedroom environment and its setup are key factors in getting a good night's sleep. And I really agree with that. You know, they can include aspects such as temperature, noise, furniture choice, arrangements, lights, just a host of things. But numerous studies have highlighted that external noise, even from traffic, can cause poor sleep and long-term health issues. One study investigating the bedroom environment of women found that around 50% noticed improved sleep quality when reductions in noise and lighting were introduced. Some of that is common sense, but think about the times we either leave on a light or there's noise in the background that we either don't address or don't try and reduce. But to optimize your bedroom environment, try to minimize external noise, light, and artificial lights from devices like alarm clocks, TVs. I mean, how many of us have a TV in the bedroom? I mean, it's ludicrous when you think about it, but many of us go to bed watching TV at night. But the bottom line is try to optimize your bedroom to eliminate external light and noise.
Yeah, it's very important. You mentioned temperature, too, to keep that temperature at a cool, comfortable temperature for you. You don't want to get hot. When you get too hot, you wake up. So keeping your bedroom temperature right around that 70-degree mark seems to be real comfortable for most people. Of course, everyone has their own personal preferences, but, you know, in the summertime when it's just hot outside, it's humid, you just really can't sleep very well. Mm-hmm. So keeping that cool temperature really, really helps a lot. And another tip that we want to talk about is when you have your dinner time and when you eat. So it's very important that you have a good, healthy meal before you go to bed, but you don't want to have it very late at night.
Many of us are guilty of that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, sometimes I don't get home until late, and I don't end up cooking until about 8 o'clock, and it's 9:30, 10 o'clock before we eat dinner, and we go right to bed. So consuming large meals before bed really can lead to poor sleep and hormone disruption. One study found you may want to eat some carbs a few hours before you go to bed, because carbs tend to be more of a long-term energy. So you may want to think about that, eating those carbs a few hours before bed, but not right before bed.
Yeah, and relaxing and clearing your mind in the evening. I mean, many people have a kind of a pre-sleep, I guess routine is what you'd call it, to help them relax. But relaxation techniques before bed have been shown to actually improve sleep quality and are another common technique to treat insomnia and reduce stress.
You know, I like this tip. A relaxing massage. I'm going to talk to my husband about this. He needs to start giving me a back massage every night before bed. But that really improves sleep quality, and especially in patients who aren't feeling well. They really tended to get a good benefit from getting a good massage right before bed.
Yeah, there's many strategies you could try. You could do the massage route, listening to relaxing music, reading a book, taking a hot bath, deep breathing, and visualization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that hot bath that you mentioned is actually one of our next tips. Take a relaxing bath or shower is a great way to help you sleep better. Studies have actually shown it can improve overall sleep quality, and it helps people fall asleep faster, especially in the elderly. In one study, a hot bath 90 minutes before bed improves sleep quality and helped participants get greater amounts of deep sleep. And that deep sleep is really what you want. You don't want to just be in that first or second stage of sleep. You really want to get into that REM sleep. And so sometimes just doing all these different things to help you relax, clear your mind, take that hot bath, just really helps you to sleep very well.
Alternatively, if you don't want to take a hot bath, Amber, some people actually just relax, bathe their feet in hot water, put the feet mm-hmm. in the tub. But I guess something about that hot water and then cooling off helps to really relax you in the evening.
Yeah, definitely. Another thing you want to think about is you want to rule out any sleep disorders. I know, you know, some of these tips and tricks might help. If they don't, though, really, you need
Very
to
true.
See your doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. If you consistently are finding that you are tired, groggy, it may be more than just you're not getting enough sleep. You may not be getting quality sleep. So if you notice that you're if you live with someone and they snore, or you notice that they toss and turn, then most likely there's either some form of disorder or apnea, because that shouldn't be the norm every night. And so, you know, you talked about sleep apnea, but that causes inconsistent and interrupted breathing. And people with this disorder actually stop breathing repeatedly while sleeping, which can be very scary. A lot of them use the CPAP machines. And this condition may be more common than you think. So there's a study that found that 24% of men and 9% of women had sleep apnea. So one quarter of us guys in the country here have some sort of apnea. And that's a scary thought, that one quarter of all males are stopping breathing throughout the night. And it may just be where you kind of breathe in real quick and you start right back, but that's something that really a doctor needs to look at.
Absolutely. And, you know, because sleep is so important, it affects so many other aspects of your life. Getting this under control can actually make you healthier. Even if you have to wear a CPAP at night, even if you have to have, you know, some other things happen, you know, the doctor might recommend some different supplements or some different things to help you sleep. Getting that sleep under control is just so important. So talk to your doctor about it. It's very important.
Yeah. Amber, tell me a little bit about your thoughts on, you know, a comfortable bed, mattress and pillow. I mean, many of us have our same pillow we've had since, you know, 20 years ago. And that's our favorite pillow. We're never going to give it up. But that's, sooner or later, you need to look at the quality of the bedding and pillows that you're using too as well, right?
Absolutely. I mean, having a comfortable mattress, having a comfortable bed can help relieve some of your lower back pain. It can enhance sleep. You know, it's very important that you're comfortable, that your back is supported, your neck is supported. So there was a study that looked at the benefits of a new mattress over the course of 28 days. They found that it reduced back pain by 57%. That's over half of your back pain that could be gone. Shoulder pain was decreased by 60%. Stiffness in your back by 59%, and improve sleep quality by 60%. That's huge. It's absolutely huge. So if you've had your mattress for a while, you may want to think about looking at some good mattresses. You know, find a good mattress, get a great pillow. It's so important to have that support for your body, but also just to be comfortable and cozy. It goes back to being relaxed when you go to bed. You know, you being relaxed when you go to bed, you don't want to get into bed and think, oh gosh, I'm gonna toss and turn all night because it's so uncomfortable. You want to be able to relax and know that when you snuggle into bed at night, it's comfortable, it's inviting, and it'll help you get a better night's sleep for sure.
Amber, I was joking about keeping a pillow for a long time, but how often should you replace like bedding and mattresses? And is that every 5 years or so? Or
yeah, they recommend between 5 to 8 years. It depends on your mattress and different, you know, things like that. But they recommend that you upgrade everything at least about every 5 to 8 years.
Yeah, I mean, these mattresses have 10 and 15 year warranties, but you do, if you haven't flipped your mattress, or even if you've had it 5 to 8 years, you really need to check that out, because not only does bedding wear down, but technology changes too. I mean, everything
Absolutely.
From these
the new
mattresses,
inner spring coils,
the mattresses that go up and down, and the foam mattresses, even the technology changes to help improve sleep as well. So
definitely is so important. Another thing you want to think about is your exercise. Exercising regularly helps in so many different aspects of your life. It doesn't just improve sleep, but it is so important for getting a good night's rest. The caveat is you don't want to exercise at 9 o'clock and try to go to sleep at 10 o'clock.
Why is that?
Exercise increases your heart rate. It's not a very calming thing to do. So you want to think about exercising early in the evening, or even first thing in the morning is a great time to exercise.
So maybe like a brisk walk after you get home from work would be a good idea?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There have been numerous studies done that talk about exercise and the benefits. I mean, just so many different benefits. It can reduce insomnia. It can reduce the amount of time it takes you to fall asleep, which in turn gets you a longer night's sleep. Yeah, so making sure you exercise, you know, 30, 45 minutes every day, but during the daylight hours is really, really a good way to make sure you're getting a good night's sleep.
Yeah, and finally, we talked about alcohol earlier, but really, you really shouldn't drink any liquids before bed. And A lot of these tips, Amber, that we've talked about today sound so simple, but we don't adhere to them anyway, like cutting the TV off, getting exercise, having the right bedding. A lot of these just sound so simple, but we just don't follow them. But we talked about alcohol, but again, liquids before bed. I'm caught a lot of times at the refrigerator taking a big scoop of ice cream or a big scoop of peanut butter and a big glass of milk. But even that, I mean, hydration is vitally important, but it is wise to reduce your fluid intake in the late evening. Try not to drink any fluids 1 to 2 hours before bed. I don't know if many people follow that, but those are the recommendations that they have. And you should also make sure to use the bathroom right before you go to bed. And that may decrease, you know, as you get older, especially the elders that we serve at Waterstone, many times disrupted night or disrupted sleep is sometimes bladder or bathroom related.
That's right.
So the bottom line is reduce fluid intake in the late evening and try to use the bathroom right before bed.
Yeah, that's also important. Getting a good night's sleep is so important, especially for the elderly. When you get a good night's sleep, it can reduce so many things, including your risk of falls. That's so important. It can reduce your pain. I think next week we're actually going to be talking to our physical therapist about pain reduction and some different things you can do to help with that. So we'll have different tips and tricks next time for that. So getting sleep is so important. So, you know, at Waterstone on Augusta, we provide assisted living and memory care. We provide a lot of these things for our residents. We have exercise classes that people can take. We have a full therapy department there that can help with that. You're welcome to have a massage therapist come in if you'd like and give you a massage right before bed. And we have caregivers there that'll help you get your shower in the evening if you need that. We even have a spa tub in our salon that people can use if they want to get that. So very important. So listen, if y'all want to stop by Waterstone, we would be so happy to have you, show you around, give you a tour, and really tell you a little bit more about what assisted living and memory care are at Waterstone on Augusta. So thank you for joining us this week. We're excited that you were here. We look forward to seeing you again next week. Hope y'all have a wonderful week.
You've been listening to Talk of Ages. For more information on Waterstone on Augusta, visit our website, waterstoneonaugusta.com, or call 864-605-7286. We invite you to join us again next Sunday at the same time for Talk of Ages.